But still people are unhappy with this movement. What can be done?
So you say that you encourage anybody who disagrees with aspects of your philosophy to argue with you?
No, we invite everyone. Please come and take to Krishna house. So if one disagrees, why you come?
But don't you suggest that if somebody feels that they can find fault in your philosophy.
Let me explain what is at fault.
Right.
Then there is a reply.
Hmm.
But without fault, if they make some, what is called?
Complaint.
Complaint. That is very difficult.
Then, sir,
what is our fault? You tell me.
Then, sir, I want to ask you about, well, it seems this book is impracticable without the kind of material I want. Now, I don't want to adopt an uncompromising position at all, but I'm convinced that you misunderstand my motivations. I don't know how to persuade you that my motivations are good ones, and so therefore I'm in a corner. In a cul-de-sac. Now, the material that I must have in this book is sufficient to be able to persuade people that they are reading about something which is true. That means, for example, that I should...
That books we have already got. To convince people that it is a nice movement, we have got dozens of books and they are selling nicely. Practically we are standing by the sales of our books and literature. How to convince people that this is a nice movement? We are ourselves publishing. You cannot publish better book than what we have done. We know the interest.
Sir, I am not seeking to persuade people that it's a nice movement. I'm seeking to describe it.
No, I want to describe, but you cannot describe better than us. Is it not a fact?
So back to Godhead and
because we know our business, therefore we are describing our facts very nicely. You are outsider.
That's right.
Yeah. So you cannot place our pros and cons so nicely.
Sir, I think we're talking about two different things. I think you...
You wanted a little history of this movement, have you? That you can... Yes. How the movement is going on, you can... But... we cannot spoil on trying that way that I describe the biography of a person.
Right.
In our book, there is no biography of anyone. The biography is not we are interested in the philosophy.
Well,
The philosophy, Vigyan, it is called Vigyan, science. If you want to know what is the science of this moment, we can spare day and night to convince. But these are superficial. First of all, we say that we are not this body. So why we shall be interested with the history of this body?
Sir, with respect, I'm now talking about offering some information about the movement, not on the movement's behalf and not for the movement's benefit, but to the general public. Now, among this information, a substantial proportion of this information will be about the movement's philosophy. Yes. I shall make an earnest, and I think... intelligent effort to understand and then to communicate the movement's philosophy.
That is it.
But I can assure you that it's also necessary to communicate something of the rather superficial aspect of the movement, which I think I agree with you, are much less important than philosophy. But it's also necessary to communicate these.
Now, our simple philosophy is that we are spirit soul, we are eternal, you are eternal, I am eternal, everyone is eternal. We are changing our body, transmigrating from one body to another. And that means repetition of birth and death. But we are eternal. Why we are in such botheration of repetition of birth and death? Not only that, sometimes in some species of life, maybe very high position, sometimes in low position. Suppose somebody is American and the next life if he becomes a tree, if he becomes a dog, he may become a demigod also, there is possibility. Just like in future, he may be a very big journalist, reputed man, but he may not be also. So, there is big science in it, and people are not interested. Understand this move thoroughly, and take it seriously. It's for good, not for nothing. For very good. Now, in Europe, America, here also, so many frustrated young boys are coming to be practically of no value in the country. In America, I see thousands of hippies, they're doing nothing. So what is the future of the country? In the flowers of the country, the young boys, they do not take interest in anything, in administration, in industry. Then what is the future? From economic point of view, I have studied that America, for want of sufficient worker, they are importing goods from Japan. And this is not very good sign. Why? Such a big country, American country, why they should import? But they are obliged to import. They have no worker. Japan's 75% business is done in America. We are not impractical. Because there are so many workers. But they refuse. And Central Park is full of rubbish thing. All. You go, it is garbage. Why? There is no worker. On the other side, we see so many young men, they are not working. It's simply idling time. So, they do not tackle the real problem. The future is not very hopeful if things go on like this. So many young boys, they are doing nothing. What is the percentage of hippies now in America? It is a very good percent. All the school colleges, here also in the university.
All the universities.
They are all hippies. So what do we expect? They are taking education, and then after taking education, they don't do anything. This is a problem. And so many illicit children, the government has to supply them food. And the welfare, what is called? That welfare department?
Social welfare.
That the girls are getting illicit children, and the government has to supply food for them. Mm-hmm. Nobody is taking care of the girls or the children. The government has to take. The responsibility is increasing. So many things. But this Krishna consciousness movement will solve all the questions. It is such a nice movement. It is a boon. So you study from that point of view and present. You are a journalist, therefore I am talking so many things. This is good material for your writing. Practical.
So when somebody joins your movement, when they first come to see your movement, what presents itself to them are men with shaven heads and saffron-coloured robes who dance in the street and who sing songs. These are strange aspects.
Hmm.
And in themselves, they're not especially significant to an understanding of the philosophy, are they?
No. This chanting and dancing is for mass of people. But when you want to discuss philosophy, we have got volumes of books.
Yes.
Both things we have got. We are attracting both the intelligent class of man and the mass of people. I mean the children.
Now, sir, I think you agree that if you agree that this is the first thing that people generally see of your movement, then surely if I'm to write a book in which I'm to describe the movement, it's necessary for me to describe some of the...
Anyone wants to see, so he should see our books also, magazines also. Why does he not see? We send our boys in this state with books. If you are not liking this saffron dress and dancing, why don't you read the books?
No, I don't think you take my point. What I'm saying is that let us imagine that the reader who picks up the book, this book that I'm going to write, I hope, is very much like a person who sees the devotees dancing in the street, because he's seeing something for the first time. Now, it's necessary, surely, to describe these external and superficial features.
It is not superficial.
Dancing
is a spiritual excess. Otherwise, it is not a dog's dance. You see, any gentleman, if I ask you, please dance on this footpath, will you agree?
Sir, surely isn't
it? It is not that dancing. You don't compare with that dancing. It is not dog's dance. They chant, they feel the dance.
Yes.
That is another thing. You try to understand it.
Yes.
If they are coming from a respectable family, now here is a boy, he is a professor. So if I ask him, please go and dance on the footpath, will he agree? A professor will agree. But when a professor dances, there is something you should understand.
So I'm not saying that the dancing is meaningless. I'm saying that if one sees people dancing, that doesn't mean anything.
That does not mean to you.
That's what I mean.
But it means to them.
Yes. No, I'm not saying that it's meaningless. I'm saying that it appears to be meaningless in the same way that one should wonder why he has his head shaven and why he wears those clothes. If one doesn't understand, these things are surprising.
At least you can take a shaving head means it's clean, clean set. The head is not overburdened with unnecessary. We want clear brain. And that is the system, Vedic system. All learned scholars, they clean set. Clean set.
Mm.
Yes. And at least we get relief. A little hair growing is also burdensome. It cleans. So it is personal convenience. So that is not the point of criticism.
No. But sir, I see it would be very difficult to explain the meaning of having a bald head, and by saying somebody's got a bald head, the reason for this is this emphasis on cleanliness and so on, and to explain why people wear clothes like this. It's impossible surely to explain the reasons for these things without
like
describing them in the first place.
Any group of men, they have got a particular type of dress. The military dress, the police dress. So people can understand that here is a police. Similarly, by this dress, they'll chant Hare Krishna. Immediate. That is our experience. As soon as they will see these people, Hare Krishna, at least they will criticize or anything. They want that people see us and chant Hare Krishna. That is what we want. Simply by seeing us, they will remember Hare Krishna. That is great advancement. Indirectly, that is our propaganda, chanting Hare Krishna.
Can I appeal to Mahanandas just for a second? What I'm trying to say here is that for every person, well, for most of the people who read this book, what they're going to be reading about is something which is completely alien. And therefore, one can't start by offering them a highly sophisticated discussion of the philosophy, because they won't even begin to understand it. Just as when you people sell back to Godhead on the footpaths, the people who buy it, I can assure you, understand very little of it. And I think you're aware that they understand very little of it. But they understand some of it, and probably enough to make it worthwhile. You think so, and I think so too. But this book can't start off at the end. I must start off from the beginning for the person who reads the book. And the beginning for the person who reads the book is, here are these people wearing these strange clothes and doing these strange things. Now, why? Now, that's what I've got to do in the book. And in order to do this, it's necessary to describe some of these physical characteristics. And my reason for doing this is, in order to define what is relevant, it's necessary also to define what is irrelevant. That's pure logic.
Prabhupada wants that you should have the highest understanding of it. Not just looking at it from their point of view, but if you present it from our point of view, then they can gain the realest and greatest understanding.
Well, with respect, I think we can only consider that question in practice when I actually write material. Mm-hmm. And have to consider
why there is objection if they are dressed in a particular way?
Oh, I'm not objecting to it at all.
Then?
In fact, it's one of the most reasons why I'm most strongly in favour of the Hare Krishna.
They are Hare Krishna people. They dress in a particular way. That is the answer, that's all.
I don't mind, sir, I don't mind how they dress. I don't mind how anybody dresses. I don't mind at all. I happen to dress conservatively, other people dress less conservatively, and new people dress in saffron robes. It's not a
matter of dress. So what is the real question about the dress and self-dress?
No, for most people,
one thing I think I understand is that he's saying that many people come and become interested in our movement by seeing us, or by not understanding anything of what we're doing, but by visual, by the mundane, seemingly, aspects. And in his book, I think what he's saying is he wants to present it in a way that will attract that sort of person, whereas most people will not pick up the book and read it because it's a book on Krishna conscious philosophy, but because they're interested in the outward aspect of things. If it contains that to some degree, then they will pick it up, and then he can present both and give them some knowledge also of what we're doing in our philosophy.
Like, I do not follow.
Like putting a label poison, a label a nectar, label nectar on a bottle of poison. they will think he's giving them what they're interested in, even though it may be superficial. But once there, then he can present the philosophy as well. I think that's what he's saying.
Yes, well, I'm not trying to... because I am not an adherent of... I'm not a Hare Krishna movement member, as is obvious. And because I am not a member of the movement, I am therefore not trying to do precisely what your gentleman is saying, but I'm not trying to package an unwholesome product like poison. Yes, I appreciate it. What I'm trying to do is to describe what is. Now, this requires an exercise of the imagination. If you imagine somebody is outside, as each of you people were at one stage, you came to understand what this movement was by a gradual process. Now, I hope a book of about 100 pages, I'm going to trace that process, not in the way you did it, but in a slightly different way. But the things that strike one immediately are these external and superficial characteristics. And then one becomes to appreciate rather more important things. And it's just a question of stating these in that way. Now, in order to understand the highest possible things, it's surely necessary to state the superficial things as well, the less important things. This seems to me to be...
Prabhupada speaking tonight is very important. It might appear that he's not understanding it, but he's actually speaking to you, like he said, not your shirt and coat, so that if you can assimilate everything that Prabhupada is saying tonight, you'll be able to write the book much more clearly. You might think that he's not understanding, but he's speaking the most important part.
I'm not suggesting he's understanding. I think he's worried about my understanding, which is why he's stressing. Yeah, well, I appreciate this, but I'm trying to convince him that I am going to try to say accurately what your philosophy is. And then this I'll have to rely on your help, because I couldn't possibly do it otherwise.
Our philosophy.
Sorry, not explain, describe. That's a rather better word.
See, but that philosophy, if you want to know more, then you can speak more. But that is the outline of the philosophy. That people without knowledge of his identification, they are being misled. And that is very risky. Risky means that you have got this opportunity of understanding your position and get out of the difficulties of birth, death, old age and disease. If you do not properly use this opportunity, and again you become cats and dogs, then are you not misled? The present civilization is misleading. They are concerned with a few years enjoyment, so-called enjoyment. Suppose you are Australian or American, you have got very nice status in your country, a good house, good facility, good money, and that's all that. But after your death, when you have to quit this certain atmosphere, then after your death, what is happening to you, you are not concerned to know. If you are eternal, then suppose you have got this certain code, when it is torn down, when it is old enough, you have to give it up. Then you have to purchase another certain code. So, are you not prepared for that? What kind of Saturn coat I shall have?
No, I'm not.
Huh?
No, I'm not.
You're not? That is very good intelligence? You go naked?
No, it's not very wise, provided one assumes that one is going to heaven.
No, everyone thinks like that. Suppose I have to purchase one coat, I consult my pocket, what kind of shirt I shall purchase, everyone knows. But if you say you are not interested, that is different thing. But any man who is going to purchase a new shirt and coat, he considers before going to the tailor's house what kind of shirt he'll have, what kinds of coat, everyone thinks. That is natural. You cannot deny it. Whether it is suitable, whether it is comfortable, so many things, everyone considers. And then he goes to a storehouse and orders, give me this kind of coat, this kind of shirt. Why you can't say that nobody is interested in that? Everyone is interested.
No, I didn't say nobody was.
Huh?
I didn't say that nobody was.
That is the natural inclination. So if you are eternal, if your life is not for this 10, 20 or 100 years, you are going to have another span of life. Are you not interested to know what kind of life you are going to get?
Well, I don't believe that I shall, but then I don't think that...
It is not a question of belief, it is a fact.
Right.
You have to accept another body after this body. Just like you have already accepted. Your childhood body was there, and then it's gone. You accepted another body. Similarly, now you have got another body. A few years after, you get another body. So you are accepting body one after another. That's a fact. So you have to accept another body after this. So what kind of body I am going to get? Is it not the point of consideration? But there is no education on this point. But that's a fact. We have accepted already so many bodies. And natural conclusion is that I must accept another body. But what kind of body? Now, you can select. There are 8,400,000 forms of body. These questions are not discussed at all. But they are very important factors. That is philosophy. But modern civilization they neglect. I don't mind what kind of body I shall get next time. So, those who are intelligent, if they think that why shall I neglect this point? I'm not going to accept a body like a tree or a dog. If I accept a body, I must have a body very nice. One may not interested in this fact, but others may be interested. So if others are interested, why this chance should be denied?
Srila Prabhupada?
Yes?
The temple is calling on the phone. They want to know if you're coming to that.
No. No, it is too late. That there is higher studies in science, in so many departments of knowledge. It is not that mass of people is interested in PhD degree. But if one is interested in PhD degree, therefore government provides, yes, in the university come. And that is the real facility. If anyone is interested to understand Krishna consciousness, why it should be denied? Why it should be obstructed? Because I do not like it. In big universities, maybe in higher studies, there may be one student And for that one student, they are maintaining four professors. Each professor is paid $2,000. Is it not a fact? What do you think, you professor? Is it not a fact? Some department of knowledge is maintained. Even it is not paid. Is it not?
Yes.
There are so many departments, simply for research work. Because the government knows it is an important thing. It may not be for the mass of people, but at least one in two intelligent class of men, if they qualify, let them have this opportunity. So this is like that. Krishna consciousness is movement is not for ordinary men, but it is very important movement. Those who are interested, why they should be denied? It should be maintained. We cannot expect everyone can give up all these bad habits, illicit sex, illicit meat eating or drink or intoxication, gambling. That is not expected. But if one wants to do it, or has status of life, why is it with that? This is not a bad thing. Why the city fathers are thinking that this will be stopped? So, my appeal to you, that you are journalists, you all at least study this our movement and present very nicely. That's my request.
Well, thank you very much for
that. Yes, thank you. Stop there. Good.